So welcome back to episode 5 of Skatespot Pod. Again, we've got two things to talk about in this episode. The first is obviously a skate spot, but the second, we're going to change course a little bit and talk a little bit about a mystery, a skate mystery. And that mystery is involving Tony Alva. So stick with us. Thanks for joining us. And please subscribe to this podcast on whichever podcast platform that you are streaming from. That would be very much appreciated. Alrighty, so this spot is one that I have known for quite some time. It is one that has briefly been circulating on the internet, so you may recognize this, you may not, but it is a very, very cool skate park and something which still is clouded with a lot of mystery, and there is things that are just very still unknown with this place. So today we're taking a trip to Malaysia, and within the forests of a place called Shah Alam lies the lost skate park called Bukit Seraka. Now, Bukit Seraka was built in late 1989 and completed in 1990. And this park is very monumental because it was the first park, or the first concrete park, that was built in Malaysia. And when you see photos of this skate park, it looks like something out of an Indiana Jones movie, or it looks like an ancient Mayan structure. It's just crazy. I mean, these jungle conditions in which this park has been living in for all this time, they really have taken command and kind of engulfed this skate park into the natural surroundings. So it is pretty crazy. Now, we have run a video on our YouTube channel about this spot. So that is on our channel called The Skateboarding Crucible. So the park consists of two half pipes, and these run side by side. The first is more of a smaller mini half pipe, and it has these curved steps that kind of lead up both sides. And this is what kind of really gives it that feel of this sort of ancient Mayan, really sort of historical structure. The second is a wider vert ramp. And on one side, the platform is split into two because obviously you've got the platform when you drop in, but then you have sort of like a roll-in section that just runs straight down the center of the vert ramp. So both half pipes are connected side by side, and this almost makes it look like it's been carved into the hillside. Then you also have a mini bowl at the back of the park. Now, the bowl is really, really well covered in dirt and green moss. There is an old newspaper clipping that was taken from when this place actually opened. And from what you can see on the old clipping is that the bowl actually kind of was split into two with a transition in the center. Now, most of the footage that's been taken from this place has been taken from the larger vert ramp, which has been cleared to the best that it can be considering these conditions. So the earliest documentation of the skate park, apart from the archival newspaper clipping that I just spoken about, was in 2016 when Sidewalk magazine ran an article on this place after they had basically been sent some photos from a friend of theirs who was actually trekking through the forests where this park is located. And this forest is called Selangor Rainforest, and it is a 544-hectare national park consisting of man-made tropical rainforests with waterfalls, botanic gardens. It looks like a super beautiful place, and it is quite a big tourist attraction for a lot of travelers. So this guy was apparently just doing some trekking through there. He had a camera in his hand, obviously, and yeah, he just stumbled across this epic looking skate park. And I mean, without knowing the date of when this thing was built, you would really be thinking that sort of the ancients back in the day were skating, because it just looks so, so old. Now, there is also some footage on this article that was released by Sidewalk magazine, and it's of a local skateboarder, and his name is Arina Raman, and he is on the vert pipe, and he's really digging into it and going pretty hard, so definitely check that out. I'll put the link in the description below. And I mean, really since 2016, it has appeared in a few vlogs on YouTube, and some cleanup attempts have been made by the local skateboarding community during 2019, which, by the way, can be seen on the Skate Malaysia Facebook page. So there is some decent footage that was shot in 2017 when a pro BMX rider, Daniel Dears, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce that, but he makes a trip to the park with some locals and they shoot a video called Riders of the Lost Ramp. One of the major challenges of this place is just the humidity that's there, and it poses a real challenge in just keeping the stamina up to basically ride this place. The sweat's just pouring off this poor guy, but he's doing a great job of riding on his BMX. He is sponsored by Red Bull, so obviously he's pretty damn good at what he does. But I think the environment in general was one of the main factors that led to the park now just being consumed by jungle, because it is obviously very harsh, it's very humid, and in those conditions, you know, the jungle just thrives. So I think that was a big factor for this park sort of just falling off the grid. Now, obviously being in such a remote location is also another factor that just basically made this place being engulfed by dense forests and has really been untouched for the past 32 years. So the history of this place is still really hazy. I've never got really any concrete information on why it was left abandoned. Yet based, as I said, on its remote location, the harsh climate, I would say that these two things really didn't fall in a positive way for the favor of the park. I was told that the skateboarding community in Malaysia during this time in the early 90s, I mean, the sport was not supported by the local government. So that could also be a reason why there was no maintenance done on the place. But I really think just due to its remote location, this could have been really one of the biggest factors for that. So really from the time it was built in 1990 up until that article was released in 2016 by Sidewalk magazine, I really struggled to find any documentation on this place. So if there is anybody out there who has some further information about what happened to the park between those two time periods, that would be amazing. You can always reach out to us at our Facebook page at The Skateboarding Crucible. And that was it for the first skate spot, Bukit Seraka. Again, go and check out the video that we released on our YouTube channel if you want to have a look at further images and videos. And please check out the links provided in the description below for the articles and all the things that we have discussed. So moving on to our little bit of a skate mystery that we're going to be talking about today. And as I mentioned, this is involving Tony Alva, and it is during his first European tour in 1978. So during the July of 1978, Tony Alva made a trip to Sweden. Now, this was quite a monumental tour, as it was his first time in Sweden, and I believe it was his first time in Europe as well. Now, all this was arranged by a clothing company that still exists here in Sweden, and they were called Blue and Gold, and they were specialized in making denim jeans at the time. I think they make a range of different clothing products, but jeans were their kind of main point of focus. So anyway, they sponsored him to come over. Would have probably cost them quite a bit of money. And Alva did some demos in Stockholm and some other ones kind of further north of Stockholm. So these have been documented quite a bit. There are some iconic photos that were taken of Alva during his visits to Sweden, which you probably all have seen before. I can put those in the description below. But after he was in Stockholm, he did make his way further down south. He made his way to Sweden's second largest city called Gothenburg. Now, during the time he was there, he skated a very iconic Swedish skate spot, which no longer exists, and this place was called the Banana Bowl. Now, we do have a video of this place on our YouTube channel, so you can also check that out if you want to know a little bit more information about the Banana Bowl. But at any rate, he skates the banana ball in Gothenburg, and he wasn't particularly impressed with the skate spot, so he decided to spray paint "This place sucks" on the bowl, which is kind of funny in itself. Yet, there is one location that Tony Alva did visit, which is still a little bit clouded in mystery. And if any of you have listened to the very first podcast that we put together about the automobile and snake run that was built in 1978, it is rumored that Tony Alva actually did make his way down to this skate spot. Now, this specific spot called Automobilen still exists today, and it is on the Swedish southwest coast, just outside of a town called Falkenberg. Now, as we talk about in our first podcast, this park is located on a piece of private land, which is still private today. And back in the day, it used to be a local roadhouse. It used to be a nightclub. It used to be a go-kart track. It was just a complete mixture of all these things. So it was actually located on the old highway that used to connect some of the bigger cities on the west coast of Sweden. Now, there's not really much understanding of how Alva ended up at this place, whether he heard about it from word of mouth, with skating some of the other spots throughout Sweden. But one thing that was interesting with this park is they actually had a plexiglass U-ramp that was sitting right outside of the old roadhouse. So it could have just been the fact that they were driving past on the highway going further down south to some of the other cities, like Malmo, for instance, Sweden's third largest city, and they just saw this plexiglass ramp and then decided to stop by and skate. So we actually got some information of some people that were actually there at the Automobile and Snake Run the day that Tony Alva turned up. So you can kind of just imagine that you're there at your local skate park, you know, with your friends, hanging out, and then all of a sudden, one of the most iconic skateboarders from that generation just turns up and starts skating. It would have been pretty mind-blowing for people and a pretty amazing time in life. This is kind of the stories that we have heard, and we believe them to be true because there is a number of people who can comment that he was there skating this particular park. But there hasn't really been particularly any evidence of this visit. And this is something that we really wanted to kind of pick up in that first episode of this podcast and make sure that this skate park gets the credit that it deserves. So when we were putting together that first episode, we were obviously talking to a lot of people. We were on social media a lot, kind of getting some information from different skate groups and things like that. And a actual image was sent through to us from a really iconic shot that was taken actually by Wynn Miller. So most of you know who Wynn Miller is, and he is a kind of an iconic photographer that took a lot of images of Tony Alva in the 70s and also 80s. And he was also the photographer that toured with Alva during his first European tour in 1978. So we actually had a photo sent through to us that was obviously a photo of Tony Alva. And it was him doing this Burt slide at the top of a wooden ramp. And many people would have seen this photo before. It is an incredibly beautiful photo. There's a lot of emotion on Alva's face. The perspective of the shot is really, really nice. And this photo has always kind of been credited to being taken outside of Paris during that first European tour. Now, when we got the information that this photo was actually taken from the Automobilen snake run, we did a little bit of research into it, and we actually tried to just get onto Google Earth and see whether or not we could actually get the same perspective or see any sort of defining landmarks in the photo and match that to what we can kind of see on Street View within Google Earth. So when we jumped onto Street View, it was pretty evident after sort of tweaking the angles a little bit that there was a few things in this photo and in Google Earth that matched up perfectly. So I have actually put in the description below the link to an article that I wrote for Confusion Skateboarding magazine on the Automobile and Snake Run. And there, if you just scroll down to the bottom of that article, you will see the photo that I'm talking about, and you'll be able to kind of follow with the description that I'm going to give around the similarities between what we saw on Google Earth and this photo. So the main one is the fact that there is a traditional Swedish cottage that is in the left-hand side of the photo, and that cottage still exists on the land today. So a few things that are just super, super similar is the fact that there is sort of this woodworking or this intricate woodworking around the A-frame of the house. There's also the same color and the same woodworking that is around sort of the windows and the exterior of the cottage. There is actually the chimneys match identically. So there's stone chimneys at the top. And it's just a bit too much of a coincidence that these things would just be so similar. Now, the second piece of evidence is the actual tree line that you see very clearly that runs down both sides of the photo that was taken of Albert. Now, this tree line still exists on the property as well. Now, the positioning of the tree line matches perfectly to where the cottage is located. So the cottage is on the left-hand side, and then you have on the right-hand side the tree line that runs down. So that's also something that is very, very uncanny if this shot is to be taken in France as originally stated. Now, apart from those two things, we have seen some photos as well of some kids skating where Alva was during the late 70s. And where he was actually skating was the old slalom run that was set up on the skate park. So they had this wooden ramp at the start of the slalom run, and that's where Tony Alva is doing his Burt slide. So these images, which we've seen from the old slalom run, the ramp looks incredibly similar, along with the concrete run and also just the white fencing and tree line that exists is pretty well identical to the shot taken from Alva. So just something a little bit quirky to talk about for the last story of this podcast this week. And this story we feel is something that is quite important because this is a park that has really been forgotten and it has been let down in so many areas, and it still is there today, just kind of rotting away. Now, obviously, it would be amazing to get that information from Tony Alva himself and just hear about the day that he took a trip down to the Automobile and Snake Run and trying to get also some information off Wynn Miller around the trip and have a bit of a chat around this photo, because I think in the end, the idea is obviously wanting to get this park saved and make it protected and restored for future generations to skate. And stories like this and evidence like this photo just really strengthen the case for the skate park and give it the credit and recognition that it deserves. So I hope you enjoy this bit of a flip on our usual agenda for Skate Spot Pod. Please, if you have any questions, have any feedback, you can reach out to us at the Skateboarding Crucible and our Facebook page. And that's it for our regular Monday episode. We'll be back next week with another two skate spots. And we wish you a very good morning, evening, wherever you are in the world. Thanks for listening, and we will speak soon.